This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine with Fiona Paul, Robert Doyle and the wonderful Jude Munro. Good morning, Jude.
Good morning, Paul.
It's so great to have you in the studio again. I bumped into Jude only last week and very conscious of the fact that every time you come into the studio, Jude, we never have enough time, and I wanted to get you back to tell us all about the Pride Centre.
I'm sorry I speak so slowly.
There's just so much good news to talk about.
There is a lot of good news to talk about.
So just before we go on to that, what was Canberra and the events of this week?
Well, look, it's an interesting story. The PM upset my plans by stopping the House from meeting in the week that the Senate was meeting. So the House of Reps were going to be meeting and I was going to be doing some lobbying. Peter McEwen, who's a colleague board member, and I were going to Canberra, and so I continued on with the trip. And while we were doing the lobbying, we have exhausted lobbying the federal government for funds for the Pride Centre. But there's a whiff of a possibility with the federal opposition potentially getting in as government. So we are in the process of doing some lobbying there, including we started with Jenny Macklin, Michael Danby, Terry Butler. So I've been making my way around the key politicians. They have an expenditure review committee process where they develop policies and funding promises, I suppose, for government. Mm. The Liberals, the Conservatives have the same approach. So I was very keen to put our case forward.
Get in their ear.
That's right, and get in their ear, exactly. Mm. But I took the opportunity to make sure that I got to see some of Bill Shorten's key advisers and brief
Fantastic.
Them.
And that just shows you the hard work that goes on behind the scenes. You know, these big schemes that we actually work on for the public purse actually have a lot of legwork that go on behind, and the machinations of those meetings and the committees that you have to go through to try and put your case together is quite difficult.
It is. I mean, it wouldn't be in Jude's case because Jude is experienced at this, but one day I'm going to start a business teaching people how to lobby, because most people are really bad at it. So it's no good coming to the federal politicians in April saying, I'd really need some funding for X, because by then all of the expenditure's already locked down. You know, the budget's delivered in May, so it's no good asking in April. So you've got to understand the cycle that you're asking in. And I find most people, when they come to see me, they spend a lot of time telling me about the worth of their project. Well, I've done my homework before they've stepped in the door. They wouldn't get through the door unless their project was worthy. I know all of that. What I want to know is, what do you want?
30-second pitch.
What do you
every
want?
Time.
You know, and I'll tell you whether I can do it, maybe can do it, can't do it, and find out more or different ways of achieving it. But I need to know what people want. And they're almost coy.
10 million, Robert.
Yeah. Yeah, the answer's no, Jude. But, you know, but that's it. If you want money, then don't spend 25 of your 30 minutes talking about how wonderful the Pride Centre is and then expect to, at the end, say, now can I have 10 million? You know.
So we've got a really tremendous brochure. We'll flick through in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
In the federal government's case, there's, and I'm talking about the federal opposition as well here, they are interested in nationally significant aspects of the Victorian Pride Centre. Mm. So switchboard, Joy radio station, broadcast to 72 other community radio stations, nationally significant. Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives, nationally significant. So they are interested in that pitch and understanding that. And then what they can do.
Yep.
Does that make it a prerequisite of getting some of that money, is that you have to have something that actually could be used nationally as a resource?
Yes, that's right. With them it is. And this, of course, will be Australia's first Pride Centre. And I've been not only doing that, but starting the process of going around to all of our prospective major resident organisations, gosh, that's been so interesting, finding about their strategic directions, because we're wanting to lock down memorandums of understanding or commitments in principle to come to the Pride Centre. So on the night of the Parliament making the great decision on Thursday night, which was so wonderful, but we were in discussions with Minus 18. And, you know, Minus 18 strategic directions are really to get to parts of our community, transgender young people and others, where there's a real need to be building understanding and connections. So they are so enthusiastic about coming to a Pride Centre.
I heard someone from Minus 18 talking on another community radio station the other day, and it was really fascinating to hear about their work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they see real synergies coming to a Pride Centre because as long as it is a safe and welcoming space for young people, they can really see the synergies.
You can see why the national government would be interested, Jude, because it's not just that some of your sort of umbrella organisations do have national implications. Because you're the first Pride Centre, that in itself is of national interest, because you want to know, well, do we need to replicate that in other places? And if so, is this the model we use? So I think you've got a lot of levers with the federal government to say, well, this is why it's deserving of funding. So strength to your arm.
And honestly, Lord Mayor, you have been just so wonderful with your support of the LGBTQI community and of the Pride Centre.
Oh, thank you. You know, I'm still disappointed I haven't got it in the City of Melbourne.
I know.
But I'm getting over it. I'm getting over it.
But, still dead to you, Lord Mayor?
You've revivified, Jude. I think it is. As Jude knows, I am disappointed. But you know, the City of Port Phillip put a very generous offer on the table, and that gave the Pride Centre a flying start, and so you should take that. But I think it will be... It's not so much where it is. It's its reach, and therefore it's actually going to be something not just for this city and this state, but it is going to be of national significance, and that's why it's very important that we get it right, and that's why I've got a great deal of confidence with you steering this, Jude. But it's very important that we get buy-in not just at a state level, but at a federal level as well. You know, that's a very important focus for you to be having, and you know, if you happen to see an historic vote while you're up there doing some lobbying, that's a good thing too.
This is Fiona and Paul sitting in for Macca and Tass. We're very excited to be here today and filling their shoes. We have a very interesting little clip here that we'd love to play for everyone. Michael Danby, local member, and was recently in his speech for marriage equality, made some references to some organisations and people that we know well. Let's hear it.
And of course, Melbourne Ports is the centre of the new Pride Centre that's going into Melbourne, the first of its kind in Australia, an initiative of my friend, the Member for Albert Park, Martin Foley, and the State Labor Government. I have to pay particular tribute to its chair, Jude Munro, a great battler for equal rights who I've known since university. She's been part of my education on this, and the Pride Centre aims to be one of the unique initiatives that celebrates, bolsters and protects equality, diversity and inclusion in our electorate. We have a very big LGBTI community, and hopefully this will pave new directions for its future and honour and celebrate the brave and sometimes difficult past of people in the LGBTI community. It will house the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives, the Victorian AIDS Council, that great beacon of equality, Joy Radio 95.0 FM, the community radio station that describes itself as the only LGBTIQ radio station in Australia. The Pride Centre will host the Midsummer Festival, the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, Switchboard and Minors 18. I've, as I said, reflected in this debate on my personal journey on this subject, and following deliberations over the years, consultation with friends, particularly LGBTI community leaders who I'll come to in a second, faith-based leaders, my views have evolved on this subject, and a lot of it's due to our friends in the LGBTQI community who have had a profound effect on me. Close friends, led by the formidable macker of Joy FM radio, David McCarthy. Tasma Fouliatis, the very important author on the issue of AIDS, David Menadue. My dear former staff member, Jamie Bennett.
So there we go. Jude.
We surprised you with that, didn't we, Jude?
Absolutely. I am staggered. Yes, Michael Danby and I go back to Australian Union of Students days where he was my nemesis. But I got a big hug from him in St Kilda when we went to his office to lobby for funds. So that's, you know, people do go on. I know the journey word can be overdone, but that is fantastic. And it was great being in the Senate, not so much listening to Pauline Hanson and some of the inanities and lack of logic that she brought into the debate, but I was so struck by the clarity of George Brandis, the passion of Penny Wong, the Green Senator Rice, some of the debates, and the closing speech of Senator Dean Smith was simply outstanding.
So what was the atmosphere actually like then?
It was electrifying. Mm. And then we all stood up and applauded. And there is footage that shows a diminutive person in the gallery with arms extended and just being so ecstatic. So that was me.
If you haven't read George Brandis' speech, it's worth reading. It's, I think, probably one of the finest contributions he's made to the Parliament.
Well, I didn't hear that particular speech. I read that speech, but I heard him with devastating intellect deal with some of the issues. It really was.
You don't need devastating intellect to deal with Pauline Hanson, though.
But also, there's a point in time for me to say, you know, thank you to our community elders, you know, yourself, you know, I know Macker and Tass got to mention amongst others there, but, you know, it is a long journey and you guys have put hours and hours and hours of work in over decades to try and get to this point. And I know it's a continuing journey, but just on behalf of some of the younger members of the community, you know, we really do appreciate some of the work that's been done on our behalf to lay the foundations for where we have got to today. So a big thank you from us.
You're here. Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
So By the way, Michael was very good, but don't look for us at 95 Point Joy because you won't find us. You'll be close.
94.9.
Yeah. We'll get him a mug. We'll get him amongst us. He's got something to reference there.
Absolutely.
So you got joy in, though. Again, that's good. That's good.
So jumping back to the Price Centre, Jude, before you were here last time round, there was a community evening that you held at the St Kilda Bowls Club.
21st of November.
Yeah. What was that like and how did that go?
Oh, it was wonderful. Such a beautiful atmosphere of welcome to St Kilda. As a result of that, we're setting up a community reference group for Jackson Street residents. For those who don't know the site of the Pride Centre, it's bounded on three sides by Jackson Street, which is effectively an L-shaped street, and Fitzroy Street. So the Jackson Street residents will be very close by. There are a number of them there the other night, so supportive, but we have to really manage any potential issues through, even the construction. We are hoping that construction will start before the end of next year. We're determined to sign the construction contract by the beginning of October next year. We are trying to think through, and Lord Mayor, you would totally appreciate this, some fast ways of getting development approval, hence deep consultation with St Kilda residents and others up front.
So less than a year, so it's a really short time to get that.
Oh, yeah, no, look, we are starting work on what the construction contract will be, the novation of the design, the design firm that gets finally selected. That selection will take place in about 2 weeks' time. So
wow,
I think
incredible.
Last time I was here, Fiona, we talked about four firms from the illustrious 18.
Yes, I think we put those all on our social media as well, so people could have a look.
It's so good you're doing that too, spreading the word. And we're also, that process of building, it would be great if ideas that people had, like a Pride Centre, could immediately be there, you know, and built. But it actually takes time. So we're trying to work as quickly as we can to get that up. And we're being, I call it deeply consultative too. We're setting up the community reference group. We got 72 applicants, and on Tuesday there'll be the announcement about who the successful applicants to that are. But I can say it crosses the rainbow. We will have two Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander LGBTQI people who are on it, three cold, so culturally and linguistically diverse people, eight people with disabilities, and across the age ranges it's one younger person, four over the age of 60, and then the rest are in
fantastic,
those middle
diverse
groups.
Crew.
And four bisexuals, one intersex, seven transgenders, nine lesbians and 10 gay men, with some people cross-identifying, particularly transgender and bisexual. So that will be headed up by Megan Smith as a co-chair. She's one of our board members and been very involved in working through the selection process. Names were taken out of the hat in some cases because they were such high-calibre people. And I'm really pleased to say, and Lord Mayor, you will understand why I'm so pleased to say this, is that Jane Crawley will be the co-chair. Jane worked at Melbourne City Council for many years.
She's a goddess.
She is a goddess. She is absolutely
now
outstanding.
At Creative Victoria. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. She's now at Creative Victoria.
She
She's director of the arts sector investment in Creative Victoria. Yep. She's, and I remember her when I was the CEO at St Kilda Council back in the early 90s. She was our community arts officer. So she's had this long background in community development, great experience and deep understanding of the
That's
community.
That's fantastic.
She's just, I cannot sing her praises highly enough. I miss her every single day at the City of Melbourne. She's just a remarkable person and talent, and you couldn't get anybody better.
And Robert, how important is that to have a team that talented to actually try and push a scheme like this through in the timescales we're actually trying to get to here?
Very important, and as Jude said, the timeframes are pretty short. I wouldn't worry so much about the statutory planning side. Those things take care of themselves, but the urban design and the community consultation and the construction plan, those things that are going to impact on people either visually or their lifestyle, they're the things you want to lock away first and you know, have that deep engagement with the council, you know, before you even start. I say at the City of Melbourne, long before you get to see the statutory planners, go and see people like Professor Rob Adams and get the urban design right and, you know, get your community understanding what you're trying to do. And then the other things can just follow. They're just pretty mechanistic things. But it's very important. One of the things that Jane is really good at is kind of seeing around corners. So have you know, just anticipating the obstacles so that you're not dealing with them as they come upon you, but well in advance of that.
So that is exactly what we're trying to do. So Jane and Megan and the group will be working through the vision for the Pride Centre, its physical form, how it works in terms of traffic flow, how to create a welcoming and safe atmosphere, how to create events. So we're actually starting to address the issue of programming 3 years out.
Yep. And
that might sound weird, but that's incredibly exciting. We really have to create this sense of absolute buzz where people are welcoming, it's a safe environment, all of those things in the Pride Centre.
So I was going to say, that's got to be a really difficult task, because just remind us again of the proposed tenants and how you see that blend of community activity coming together.
So there'll be 10 major resident organisations, that's our plan, who will take up 3,300 square metres of the space. There will be 20% that will be commercially let out, and those commercial tenants will subsidise the other tenants. And there'll be up to 40 other LGBTQI organisations who will be there on a regular or ad hoc basis, whether it's chorals, events, theatres, all of that happening. Michael Danby talked about who the major tenant organisations are. We're absolutely thrilled about that.
Fantastic. That sounds great. So
we've had a really great message here from a listener. As a Sydney gay man who travels to Melbourne regularly, I cannot wait for the Pride Centre to be built. Well done, Melbourne. Much love to you all.
That's fantastic.
There's going to be lots of great people coming there.
Yeah.
So we're getting towards the news. I thought, just before we end up, I just thought a quick chat to Robert about what is going to be happening in Melbourne over the Christmas period, because this time next year you'll be back and we would have had all the celebrations.
Exactly. Next time I'm back in the studio, Christmas will be done and dusted, New Year's Eve will be over. But I hope people do get into the city and enjoy the, whether it's the Christmas tree or Father Christmas or the traditional Meyer windows or the new
look at Town Hall Station. It's like a new window.
It's fantastic, isn't it? Yeah. And look, I think the things that people will like most, the projections on the State Library or at Fed Square, they're Father Christmas preparing for the big day. And do not miss the Gingerbread Village at Town Hall, because you can go in there and
it's edible.
It is edible, but some of it's getting a bit old now, but you can still buy some gingerbread there. You will even see a little portly Lord Mayor in his robes standing out front of the gingerbread town hall. And because my media team are very, very funny, and for the moment they have a job, the Marzipan Lord Mayor is out and having adventures around Melbourne every single day, and you can follow him on What's on Melbourne. So if your life is completely empty, please follow Marzipan Lord Mayor.
That's a miracle. What's amazing. Your people actually, will cook up. I love it.
Could you, if you do see the marzipan Lord Mayor, can you actually text us a photo in here, Joy, and we'll see if we can pop them onto our social media.
I'll put them up for you. Don't worry, he is there. My person, they always do the MCG and they do the grand final teams, and they tell me, I haven't seen him, but there is a little marzipan Dusty Martin, including with marzipan tattoos, which is a good thing. But I still like the fact that you can look at the MCG and around the back there are two Collingwood supporters being ejected from the ground. So it's a really true life
version
of Melbourne, only made in gingerbread, and it's great fun.
Straight after the show.
Yeah,
I'll have to check that out.
It's very funny. But look, I hope people, because I won't get a chance to talk to you again until well after the new year, I hope you have a very happy Christmas. Remember, for some people, it can be a bit of a lonely time, particularly for those who are vulnerable. So watch out for people. Take care of yourselves. Have a very happy and a very safe new year. And let's start a wonderful new year in which nothing will ever be the same again. And long may it be so.
Indeed. Fantastic. So thank you very much, Robert, for coming in for us this morning.
Always a pleasure.
It's great to have you in the studio. And also, Jude, thanks again for popping in. We love to have you here.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Always a great welcome.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.